Welcome to the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. We are so excited to welcome you on this journey to amplify your impact, skyrocket your business, and change lives through the power of your unique story. Be sure to listen to the daily prayer along with the speaker sessions and participate in the daily challenge to receive not just inspiring information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't forget to download the free gifts provided by each speaker, which is an opportunity to go deeper on what they shared. Enjoy this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Power of Your Story Summit. I'm excited to have our next guest with us today. Our next guest speaker is actually someone who's fairly new to me. We met recently, and when I heard her and heard her story and heard about what she does, I said, Alexis, you have to be on the summit. So we have her on today, and I'm so excited for Alexa. I keep saying Alexa. I want to say Alexa instead of Alexis, right? So let me, first of all, pronounce her name right. It's Alexis, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Alexis. And when I say Alexa, then I hear dinging in the background. So Alexis Hunter is a certified transformation coach, speaker, and storytelling strategist who believes that every voice carries the power to create change. With a master's degree in strategic communication and public relations from Purdue University, she brings both academic expertise and real-world experience to the art of communication. Alexis has served as a speaker advocate coach for transformational leader Lisa Nichols, equipping speakers around the world to share their stories with courage and clarity. Today, she empowers leaders, creatives, and entrepreneurs to overcome fear, unmute their voices, and craft stories that inspire both impact and income. Blending professional insight with her own journey of resilience, Alexis teaches audiences how to move from silence to storytelling and from storytelling to influence. She lives in Dallas, Texas with her husband, their son, and their two dogs, Marshall and Cardi. Welcome to the summit, Alexis.
Thank you so much, Nadine. Sometimes it's so funny when I hear this bio, I'm like, that's me. Like,
that is you. You are amazing, girl. Yes. And that is exactly why I like to read people's bio, because it's important that people understand, you know, who you are, what you've done. So I'm excited to have you as a part of the summit. And it's also important for people to know something about you that maybe is not in your bio. So I always like to start off with maybe a fun fact or something interesting about you that people maybe don't even know, but it's definitely not in your bio, because people actually resonate with those things, right? They connect with people on those things. So share a fun fact or something interesting about yourself. I know, right? Putting you on the spot immediately.
Well, a lot of times when people look at me, depending on who the person is and where they're from, I can be ethnically androgynous, meaning they're not sure, like, is she Black? Is she Hispanic? Like, is she mixed? Like, what is she?
Right.
And so a fun fact about me is I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. And my father is African-American from Denver, Colorado. And my mother is Dominican from Santo Domingo, DR. And so growing up in a bi-ethnic home, if you will, it was very interesting. After almost 40 years of marriage, my dad still doesn't speak a lick of Spanish.
Wow.
Good. It's all good, but what I think makes that interesting is that I used to struggle with that in terms of identity, like that whole thing of not being Black enough and not being Hispanic enough. But what I have found is that it has really made me really open to so many different cultures and people, because from a very early age, I knew, like, this little box, this little square that I stand on is not the only one that exists. And so I've always been open and interested in other people and other cultures, and it's just it's it was fun. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I definitely, I just thought you were Hispanic. I was like, okay, I don't know. I just immediately thought you were Hispanic. But it's funny because you're actually the second person on the summit that has mentioned about identity and, struggling with identity. And I always say that sometimes there's a pattern for a reason, like, maybe for the audience or someone listening that needed to hear it. So I love that you shared that story and how that's impacted you or things that people wouldn't necessarily know about you. So thank you for sharing that fun fact about you. So as you know, we're here for the summit, and the summit is all about the power of your story. And I love in your bio, and this is exactly why I said, okay, you need to be on the summit, where you talk about your storytelling strategist, number one, and you talk about the fact that you believe that, everyone has a story and everyone's story is powerful and important to share. So why do you think it's important for us to even have a summit? Why should we even talk about the power of your story? Why do you feel that someone's story is powerful? You have it in your bio, so I know you're passionate about it. It's a part of the
I
work that you do in
am.
the world. Why is this important?
So if I may, Nadine, you and I were having a conversation offline, and we were touching on just how divisive the world is now, especially within the body of Christ. And one of the things that really breaks my heart, if you will, or I have a soft spot for, is people being able to connect with compassion. Everyone has a different set of experiences, if you will, but the human experience is still the same. I have talked about losing my husband at an early age, and so my grief experience, I can talk to someone who maybe didn't lose a spouse, maybe they lost a child. We had two different experiences, but the human aspect of it, the emotional aspect of it, is one and the same. We both know grief at a very deep level. And so one of the things that I believe the enemy does is he comes in and he tries to use shame, fear, insecurity, things to silence us so that we don't see each other. We don't connect with each other. We only see the things on the surface, the things that are different, the things that we may not understand with one another, but when we start to speak and we start to be vulnerable about things and we start to be honest about things, we realize we're actually more alike than not. And scripture says in Revelations, I believe, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, in addition to connection, I believe that when people share their story, they open the door to set somebody else free. Your experience is the blueprint for somebody else's breakthrough. And so being able to share it and share it boldly and share it confidently and sharing it with impact is more than just being a great speaker. As a believer, you have a responsibility to do that, to turn around and reach a hand out to help your brother or sister that is struggling. So yes, I'm very passionate about storytelling. Jesus used stories to communicate and to connect, and I feel like there's such an art to it, and it's so powerful. It really is.
I agree with you so much. It's so true. Just that scripture verse alone, that we overcome by the blood, and the scripture says the power of our testimony. So, like you said, it is a command almost that we share our story, we share our testimony, we share what God has done in our lives. And I love what you said about, sometimes the devil will put shame or fear or different things in our spirit, in making us not want to share. So we have to really look past those things and really understand the power of our story and the importance of sharing our story. So I love that you shared that as to why our stories are important. Now, you are going to talk about specifically the art of storytelling. That's the category that we have you under. Why do you think that there's an actual art to storytelling? You talked about Jesus being a great storyteller. I would say he's the master storyteller, right? If we really look at all scriptures and the stories he's told, he is a master storyteller. So obviously, storytelling is impactful, but there's definitely an art to it. So tell us more about why you think there's an art to storytelling.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm gonna flip it back on you. Have you ever been sitting with someone and they're telling a story, and all of a sudden you just feel your eyes start to get heavy, and you start thinking about the groceries, and you start thinking about the email. Meanwhile, this person is still talking,
Right,
but you
right,
start
right.
thinking about, man, did I take the meat out of the freezer? And then the person says, "So what do you think?" And you're
Right.
standing there like a deer in headlights, not realizing you left the room 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, that has happened. Absolutely. It's almost like, is it Charlie Brown where they saying wah 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 wah, where the
Yeah.
teacher's like wah 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 wah. That's all you're really hearing. You're not hearing the words.
Exactly. And that is because there was something lacking in whatever was being expressed. In this particular case, we're talking about storytelling. There was a lacking in the delivery of whatever was being shared. And I think we just kind of touched on it, the importance of storytelling. It's how we connect, it's how we overcome. Well, I can't connect and I can't overcome with you if I can't follow what you're saying. So being able to understand and have a grip on the basics of storytelling, like what is it that makes a good story? What is it that keeps someone engaged, that keeps someone actively listening? And even to take it a step further, what is it about a story that makes someone want to take action? There's definitely an art to that. I believe it's a gifting to be able to do it organically or unintentionally, but at the same time, it is something that can be learned if it's not gifted. So, I think that the art of storytelling is so important because, again, like I said, we just talked on it. There's so much writing on it, right? Someone could be trying to share the gospel with you. I mean, I'm not trying to tell on nobody, but I'm just saying, like, how many times have you been in church? And you're like, when is this going to be over? Praise the Lord, but let's wrap this up. Like it's that important. It's that critical because it could really make the difference in somebody's life in ways that we would never know.
Exactly. I love that. And it's true. It's about connection and engagement, right? If they're not connecting with you and engaging with you, that's when they start drifting off and start thinking about the groceries and what they need to do on their to-do list. So I think a key part of the art of storytelling is definitely keeping their engagement and having some form of connection. And I love that you mentioned like sermons, because when we go to church every weekend and we listen to the pastor, a lot of times there is actually a formula or a way that they do the sermons. I don't know if your church is like my church, but most of the time the pastor's like, okay, I'm going to tell my point. I'm going to tell my sermon in my 3 points and sit down, right? He's like, I know that it's going to be 3 points then I'm going to sit down. So it's like, it's almost a framework that he's using, right, to get his point across in that sermon or that particular message. And this is why I love that your topic is the 3H speaker method, a framework to move passive listeners to fast action takers. Because just based on the title, I think you're going to help us with this, right? You're actually going to give us a method and a framework. So tell us a little bit more about this 3H speaker method, a framework to move passive listeners to fast action takers.
Yes, so the 3H framework is really one of my favorites for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's the fastest to implement. It's really easy to learn. It's very easy to implement. And also it how I'm trying to explain it concisely. It allows the speaker to move through logical steps. So if you're like me and you're kind of like a type A, and you're like, where's this going? Like you're listening, you're like, where are we going? This framework allows the speaker to take people through the logical journey that people who are thinkers or they're kind of heady, if you will, would be on. So it encapsulates both like left brain, right brain thinkers, and it works regardless of what side of the spectrum you tend to lean into. It's very versatile, it's very flexible, and it's not something that's rigid. You know, I'm a creative person. I think that's the right brain. I lean into the creative a lot, and I struggle with strict formula like frameworks. It just doesn't work for me. So this one, I've taught it. I've learned it, I've taught it, I've used it, and it doesn't miss. When it's done right, it never misses. And so whenever I'm coaching or teaching or when I'm speaking, I always lean back into that. Even if I'm getting lost, I'm like, okay, where am I in the framework? And it's very easy to get back on track. And so that's why I really love this method. So just to break it down, so I don't keep the audience in suspense anymore. Oh, go ahead.
I know. I was gonna say that's actually a part of good storytelling. You build it up so much. It's like, okay, I can't wait to hear it. You're building it up so much. So hey, maybe you're teaching before the teaching, right?
Yes. So it's actually pretty awesome, Nadine, because we have set the foundation for this framework because it's rooted in connection. How can I tell a story that is authentic, is genuine, but also allows me to cut through the noise and connect with you regardless of how old you are, where you're from, where you grew up? This allows you to get through it. So, jumping right in, this is the heart, hook, hope method. Okay, 3H. So, starting with the heart part of the story is how we build rapport and relatability quickly, right? So, in the example that I gave, I was talking about how I was widowed at an early age. And I could speak to a mother who has lost her child because I don't have to talk about my husband or talk about her child. I can talk about grief. So at the beginning of the story, I'm talking about how grief has impacted me. I'm talking about the emotion. What is the emotion that I experience? How did I feel about something that happened? Because that's where someone can connect. I don't know why my mind always defaults to loss, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe somebody lost their job and the person sitting next to them lost their car. Okay, we lost two different things, but we both experienced loss. So it's starting or thinking about what are the emotions, based on the story I'm telling, what are the emotions that are associated with this story? And how can I articulate this in a way that allows me to gather the room? Because again, at the end of the day, the human experience is universal. Let's make this happy. Let's talk about joy. You know, someone just had a baby and someone just got a promotion. Two totally different things, but still, we're talking about joy. We're talking about happiness. We're talking about something new. So how do we connect that? From there, we move into the hook, and that's the
Okay.
turning point. Oh, go
I have
ahead.
a question on the heart. So you gave us some
Yes.
examples, but I'd love you to also make it in like a storytelling format. So give us an example of a heart part of the story. Like I know you gave examples of, grief and joy. Like how would you even start with the heart? Like how would you even like say, would you say we all struggle with grief? Like what would be a good way to jump into that emotion, that heart? Give us an example on how you can lead with the heart.
Yeah, so I love and what I teach is questions. Questions, and this is like a pro tip. A question is a great thing to sprinkle into your storytelling because it works like a hook. It's like, are you listening? Are you engaged? Are you paying attention to what I'm saying? So if I were to say, again, I'm going to use the job, right? When I got hired as the national director of marketing, I was so excited. Have you ever experienced the excitement that comes with starting something new. So right away, I've told you where I'm coming from. I'm coming from, I've got a new job. But notice, I didn't ask you, have you ever had a new job? I asked you, have you ever experienced excitement that comes from starting something new?
Yeah, I love that. So tapping into that emotion, what is that emotion? And tap into that and ask a question based on that emotion. Love it.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, awesome.
And so once you do that, you can then move forward with the hook section. And of course, you can expand for however amount of time you have. But the hook section, the hook part of the framework is what allows the speaker to reveal the core insight or the transformation. So, I'm not really sure where to go with the job thing, but I'm going to go back to the grief because that's what I know, and I do talk about that. So if I were to say, again, going back to the heart and then coming into the hook, I was 30 years old when overnight I became a widow and a single mom. Have you ever experienced a loss that changed your life in a way that it could never be the same? I didn't know then, but I was on a journey to rediscovering a part of me that I never knew existed. That was the hook, because now people are like, well, how does she go from going through this indescribable grief to now being on this journey to rediscovering herself? So what you're doing is you're taking your listeners on a journey. And that's what we, and they're willing to go with you because they've connected with you. They're willing passengers, not someone that's you're dragging along because they're too afraid to get up and leave, or they paid to sit there and now they have to wait until you're done. It's a journey that you're taking people on. And so the hook, you can, a good starter phrase, if you will, could be the turning point for me was I didn't realize that things were going to change until. So there's different starters that you can use, and you can stack them on top of each other as you go through each of these phases. So the last part of the framework is the hope section. So as you're going on this journey, think of it as like going from one mountaintop to the other. So you kind of, you're starting with what's going on and you're going down. When you're coming back up, you've hit that turning point. Now you're coming back up. And the hope section to me is where the most impact happens because now, excuse me, this is where, and this is actually where a lot of people shine, but it falls flat because they haven't built it up prior. But the hope section is where you inspire action and you provide a tangible step. You've taken people on a journey, and now you get to the hope section, and it's like, man, I can trust what you're saying. You've given me the blueprint of how to recover, how to do something different. And I know it works because you're standing in front of me. Like I've seen, you've allowed me to see behind the curtain. So to put it all together, and we can kind of go back and unpack each step, but I just kind of wanted to lay it out for our listeners. Again, I lost my husband when I was 30 years old, and overnight I became a widow and a single mom. Have you ever experienced life-changing loss? Have you ever felt like the world as you knew it was coming to an end? That's exactly what it felt like for me. But the turning point didn't come until I realized I had permission to let go of the grief. I was allowed to be happy again. I was allowed to pick myself up again. So today, I want to invite you to choose you, choose joy, choose happiness, and give yourself permission and the freedom to have joy again.
Yeah, I love
So
that. That's
I just
that
walked
hope.
you through that. What's that?
Exactly. That's that hope part in the end. What is the moral?
Yes.
What can they get out of it? It's not just you sharing your story, but now you're telling them and inviting them into stepping into something for themselves, right? After they've heard what you have to say. And as you were sharing, I was just like leaning in, right? That's how we know a story is good, when you find yourself leaning in to like hear more, understand more. So I love the way that you describe that. And I also love that you always bring up the human experience, because honestly, I feel like the way that you shared about the art of storytelling and your formula is really allowing people to understand we're all human, right? And we're all going through human experience. And like you keep saying, your experience might be different than mine. The details may not be the same, but the overall, our overarching thing that I'm experiencing, grief, joy, whatever it may be, we as human beings experience that. And if you're experiencing it right now, this is what I want to invite you to do, or this is how I want to encourage you. So I love that flow of the journey and the art of storytelling through the 3H speaker method. So that's awesome. So is there like a key story? I know you talk about grief and losing your husband, and is there, I for our listeners, would you say there's a key story that you should focus on? It just depends. And then is there a key, what's the word I'm looking for? Platform or way to tell it. For example, you could do this on social media. You could do a storytelling post and use this same framework. You could do it in an email, right? There's so many ways that you can tell a story. So I guess the two questions that I want to ask you is, should you have like a library of stories, right, that you want to tap into, especially as a copywriter? Advise people on that, you know, having a library of stories, or however you feel led should be the way that you tell the stories. And also, does the framework change depending on the modality? I think that's the word I'm looking for, that you're using to tell the stories. I think those would be interesting ways to go a little bit deeper on that method.
Yes. So Nadine, before I start, I'm going to ask you to hold me accountable in case I don't answer one of the questions.
Okay.
But I'm
I
going to
know
do
I
my
kind of
best.
threw a lot at you.
Yes. So it's perfectly fine to be like, Alexa didn't really answer the question. You can tell me. I can take it. So I think if I understood the first question correctly, is there a core story a speaker should have? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Because again, and it really depends on the goal, but typically, and this is me putting like my marketing and communications hat on, right? People who are confused don't typically engage. And that transfers into sales. You know, if you're trying to speak to sell, which that's a different conversation, but to keep it just about the art of storytelling, someone who's confused is not going to engage. So it's very important as a speaker to master what is your thing. A lot of people in speaker spaces know me as someone who talks about grief, which I do. I do talk about grief. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't talk about other things. I'm also a speaker coach. I also am a marketing director. Like I can go into other things, but my core message is finding hope after loss. And once you have mastered that story and can tell it like the back of your hand, then of course you can go into other stories and apply the same framework and master and craft, or craft and master the next story. But typically the way that I coach and the way that I train is like, what is, and most people typically do have one core story. Like a lot of people, they say that fear of speaking is probably like the number one fear in the world. Last time I checked, right? So not a lot of people are running to grab the mic. So if they are, it's typically because they've experienced something, or in our space, the Lord has given them a message to share. It makes me think about Moses. You know, the Lord met Moses in a burning bush and told him, go tell Pharaoh. And he came up with every excuse in the book why not to go. But the Lord put the message in his mouth, and he had that responsibility and that call to obedience to deliver that specific message. Moses went on to lead the Israelites through the wilderness. He gave them the Ten Commandments, the book of Deuteronomy. So when you think about it, Moses talked about other things too. But what do most people know Moses for? Let my people go. That was his core message. So when you think about it, again, you can have more than one story, but what is that core thing that people are going to know you for? Because when they know you, there's clarity. And that to bring it back full circle, there's clarity when they know what you talk about, and it makes it easier for people to engage with you. And not just from a buying perspective, if you're a coach or an author or anything like that, but again, if you're being called to speak at a corporate event or to a church, what are you coming to talk about? We need to know. So clarity in a and having a core message and a core story is definitely important. I would highly recommend that. And then your second question, well, first, let me pause there.
Because I just wanted to add, what I heard from you is that it's important to understand what your core message is. And then I'm going to kind of relate it to myself. Like, I feel my core message is combining faith and business, right? I tell a story about how when I first opened my marketing agency, I was treating it like corporate America, where you don't combine faith and business. And then God hit me over the head and said, no, this is your business and my platform, and you can talk about faith and business. And then that shifted everything in my business, right? So I always tell that core story about God shifting things. And now I speak about both faith and business and how they go hand in hand, how they actually work together. Even though we've been brainwashed to think that they're supposed to be separate, right? So I would say, as an example, that's like my core message, faith and business, right? And combining faith and business, and that we as believers have a responsibility to combine faith and business, whether that's covert or overt. So I would say that's a main story for me, or that's a core message. So for listeners, think about what that core message is, what God has placed on your heart as a message, and your story that relates to your message, right? How my story was, I was separating the two, and God was like, no, you can actually combine the two. And then as you were speaking, I thought, but I'm also led to talk about spirit-led marketing, right? So I talk about that a lot, like not just regular marketing, but how do you market in a spirit-led way where you're being less expert-led, coach-led, or guru-led, but more spirit-led, and coming from the internal of how you need to market and promote your book or your service. So that's another core message, right, that God has given me to speak on. So I think what I'm hearing from you and using myself as an example is really think through what are those core things that God has told you to be bold and loud in the marketplace, and what story do you have behind those core messages that can help people to relate to that messaging? So I really feel like core messaging is what are those core messages that God is telling you to share in the marketplace, and what is your personal story behind those core messages that people need to hear? So I love that you explained it that way. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And if I may, Nadine, because even as you were speaking and I was listening to you talking about your message, I think it's really, and if I may just highlight from what you shared, I didn't hear two messages, I heard one. So when we talk about the separation of faith and business, we've been told that they're separate when actually they're one, or they come together because of spirit-led business.
I love that. Cool.
So it's an integration, and I think sometimes, and excuse me for the pivot, but I can't, because I know too many people that get stuck when it comes to this core message thing, especially people that are multifaceted, multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate. It's like, man, I love all of these different things. How can I pick one? It's like, you don't have to. And I think your messaging, Nadine, is perfectly fitted and positioned for that person to say, hey, when you're spirit-led, you don't have to worry about what the coaches and the gurus and everybody is saying. If the Lord has anointed you and gifted you to do all of these things, then how is the Spirit leading you in your business with
I
all of
love
these
it.
gifts and anointing? So
That gave me chills. That was kind of a revelation. You guys got to hear firsthand coaching, right? Yeah, so that was, I thought it was two separate stories, but you're the first person that ever said, no, it's actually one story. And it's the element of faith-based, you know, combining faith and business is that spirit-led piece. That's pretty powerful. So I appreciate you sharing that, because that is deep
Absolutely.
and awesome. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now I won't interrupt you with the second half, where it was, does the framework change based on the basically the platform you're using, email, social media, speaking in person? Can you always use the three H's no matter what modality you're using?
Yes, and yes. What I love about the framework is it can be cut into 5 to 10 seconds if you're just using the starters, let's say. So online, on YouTube, on Instagram, I'm the confident content coach for Christian creatives, and I focus on the speaking component of it, just showing up and showing up consistently. So if I were to, let's say, be creating a short form piece of content, right? Like a reel or a TikTok or whatever, and I wanted to use this framework, I could say something like struggling with finding the words that you want to share online. So that's the heart piece, right? It could be that could be someone who does painting, someone who's a vocalist or a musician, somebody who writes. I'm not asking you, are you struggling with your specific what's the word? Artistry, if you will, or whatever your passion is. I'm asking you, are you struggling with sharing the words as it relates to that thing? So are you
There's a
struggling to find the
difference.
words to share your message? I was too, but then I learned God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So now I just use the hook to say, hey, how are you experiencing this thing? I've experienced it too, but this was my turning point when I realized this thing. So the hope then is your next step isn't perfection, it's obedience. Share one sentence of your message with the world today. That, if I were to run through that whole thing, that was off the top of my head, but if I were to run through that whole thing again, that probably would have taken all of 10 seconds. And
Right,
that
very
was
short.
right. And that could have been a TikTok or a reel or a short. Now let's flip it and let's talk about email. I love email, I'm a copywriter. You can expand on each of those sections. So if you wanted to talk about the heart part, and I'm going to go back to the example I just used, struggling with sharing your message online, you know, and going into that experience, you know, I've struggled with that too. I've been afraid of what people were going to say. What are people going to think about me? What if they disagree with me? Again, I'm going through all of the feelings of the experience. But then I realized God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And then go into the revelation of that for me. Once I realized it's not on me to deliver something perfect, it's on me, and this is a wink at you, Nadine, to be spirit-led and just share what the Lord has told me to share. It doesn't matter if I'm qualified, and this is all in an email, so I'm talking as if I'm writing this, right? I don't have to have it perfect. I just have to be obedient. And then you go into the hope. So I want you to know today, the same is for you. What this revelation that I have is not just for me, it's for you too. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be obedient.
Love it.
And then if depending on who I am, if I'm a coach, if I'm an author, if I have some kind of pitch or something, you can plug that in at the end. Like, hey, share today on social media, you know, whatever, and give somebody a prompt. Or check out my blog link, my YouTube video, my book that talks about overcoming perfectionism, whatever the pitch is. That was an email, but you still used the framework. And then, of course, we could talk about taking your email, turning it into a YouTube script. You know, like It's so versatile.
Yep.
And once you have just the starters figured out and understanding how each of the sections work together, that's where the flexibility and the creativity comes in. Because you don't have to use the starters if you understand the sections.
Yep. Yeah, I love it. Such a great example of how we can use it on a smaller scale, whether it's a reel or a short video, and then on a larger scale, really putting in the details, more emotions, more being more descriptive on email. So you can definitely use the framework and use the same story in all different modules or modalities. I don't know if that's the right word, and still have the same impact. So I love that this 3H speaker method can be used on the stage too, right? We can't
Yes.
forget that, of course, speaking it, writing it, speaking it. It's like the spoken word, the written word can all, you can use the 3H speaker method framework, no matter how you're sharing your story. So I love that. So I'm going to end on this last question. What one thing would you suggest to someone to step into the power of their story? Maybe there's someone listening to the summit. They know they have a powerful story. They're a little bit hesitant, but there's a word of maybe encouragement you can give them. It could be one word, it could be a phrase, it could be a thought. But how can you encourage someone to step into their power of their own story?
Share it. Share it. I've been there and I get it. And if I'm being really honest, it still comes up, right? Like as you grow, you just reach different levels, right? And so for me, and what I encourage people to do is find safe places to just start, whether it's sharing your story with a friend. Or posting, Instagram has a thing of close friends. So you can select who you want to perhaps, just do a story on your Instagram and post it only to your close friends or only close friends see it. Or posting a YouTube video, especially if you're starting. I love encouraging people to start YouTube because the reality is only so many people are going to see it
That's
at the
right.
beginning. I
You're
mean,
right.
and I'm just being honest, only so many people are going to see it. And typically I found on YouTube, people tend to be so much more forgiving, encouraging, community oriented. When you think about the other platforms out there, that's just Alexis's opinion. It's not fact, just my opinion. And so I find that there is a strength and a courage that comes when you just put it out there. When
Right.
you just, a lot of people think, and I promise I'm going to scale back after this, but a lot of people think that confidence is first, followed by competency. Well, if I'm confident, then I can go do the thing. No, my friend, it's the reverse.
Right.
Confidence comes after you do the thing, it's a byproduct of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I encourage people, hey, if you're scared, that's cool. Do it in a way that makes you feel safe. Do it
Yeah.
in a way, but do it. Do it. Like that. It's kind of like when you're talking to your kids and you're like, you can have broccoli with cheese or you can have broccoli with ranch, but you're having broccoli. You get to
Right.
decide.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. No, I love it. So what I heard from you is do it. Share your story, and you can start by sharing in a place that's safe. Whatever
Correct.
that looks like or means to you, share it in that safe space, but do it. Let's get started today and do it. So I love that that is what you suggest to someone stepping into the power of their story. So you also offered our listeners a free download. So thank you so much for your free download, which is 3H Speaker Method Cheat Sheet. So tell us a little bit more about that 3H Speaker Method Cheat Sheet.
Yes, so it's exactly that. It's in the name. So I know we covered a lot and we went through a lot. And if this is your first time being introduced to a speaker framework, it can be a little overwhelming. Does this sound right? Is this what she meant? So the speaker cheat sheet breaks down the descriptions of each of the sections, as well as tips and some starter phrases. So if you're not
Awesome.
quite sure how to get going, I give you 2 to 3 starter phrases that you can use interchangeably in your story to help you craft something that feels good and authentic to you.
I love that. So definitely go ahead and click on that button and get that 3H speaker method cheat sheet to help you to really create your stories using this framework that she shared. And you also offered for VIP, for those who have upgraded to the VIP, a 1 hour one-on-one coaching session, which is super generous of you. So thank you for offering that to our VIPers. So if you haven't already upgraded to VIP, I encourage you, even if it's just to get that 1 hour coaching, right? It's well worth it. So tell us a little bit more about what they can expect in that 1 hour one-on-one coaching session.
Yes. So this is a time to bring your stories, bring your questions, and I will go through it with you. I'll help you craft your core story, answer any questions, and really just go through the process of bringing clarity about how to craft a really good story. If you've got questions on, well, how do I include my pitch into this? How do I position this? I can also help with providing some clarity and direction in that area too.
So good, so good. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and offering this one-on-one coaching session to those in VIP. So definitely click on that if you're in VIP, access that and connect with Alexis. So thank you so much, Alexis. Thank you so much for being a part of the Power of Your Story Summit. And if someone wants to get in touch with you for the work that you do in the world, what's the best way for them to connect with you and share a little bit more about how you help them?
All
Awesome. So
righty.
how
So,
can people connect with you?
yes. So you can find me on Instagram at Alexis M. Hunter, or you can send me an email. Email is also another quick way to get in touch with me. And that is going to be coachalexismarie@gmail.com.
Love it. So definitely connect with Alexis. Thank you so much, Alexis, for being a part of the Power of Your Story Summit.
Thank you so much for having me, Nathan.
Thank you for listening to this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. If you haven't already, be sure to listen to the daily prayer at the top of the page and make sure you check out the daily challenge. The challenges are specific to each category and are located at the bottom of the page. Are you thinking that you won't be able to listen to, learn from, or enjoy each of the 24 interview sessions? No worries. Simply upgrade to the Power of Your Story All Access Premium Pass. You'll get lifetime access to all 24 recordings, plus the Power of Your Story swag bag worth over $2,555. There's no better time than right now to create and promote your story and skyrocket your business, and you'll have access to the tools you need forever. Click the link to upgrade right here on the page. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the next speaker.